Now, before we go one step further, let me introduce myself. I am Ken Morafe, the host of Money Matters with Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I have been a certified financial planner now for more than 20 wonderful, marvelous, and very exciting years. I feel good. Yes, I do. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And the firm that I represent, I am senior advisor at Retirement Planners of America, and we specialize in retirement planning. So we work with people who are primarily over 50, retired or retiring soon. And Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 independent financial advisors, actually for the seventh consecutive year. My goodness. But you know what? Without our clients, we would be absolutely nowhere. So clients, thank you, thank you, thank you. We have an absolutely fantastic show lined up for you. So let me go over with you what we're going to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of personal finances, of retirement planning, actually. First of all, I want to share with you the 300-foot walk, okay? And you're probably wondering, what does a 300-foot walk have to do with my retirement planning? Well, I will say just about everything, because the 300-foot walk story is going to help to illustrate how much risk should you take when it comes to your investments, okay? So we'll do that first and foremost, because I believe that when you invest, you are in the risk business, and you need to understand how to determine how much risk you should take and whether you're taking too much or not. Now, also this week, we're going to talk about 9 things to look for in a long-term care policy. Now, you know, Jack, other shows, they might give you 5 or 6. Maybe they get to 7, but on this show, we give you the full Monty. We give you 9 of them, 9 things to look for in a long-term care policy. Now, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, on this show, as I mentioned, we talk about retirement planning topics, and Social Security is one of the biggest topics that we talk about with our clients and prospective clients. And so this week, we're going to continue in our strategy of how our discussion on strategies on how to file Social Security and when to file for Social Security. And you know, there's a recent article that I saw in described that Americans leave trillions of dollars on the table when it comes to filing incorrectly on Social Security. It's really, and it's very complex. So we'll help in that regard, I hope. Now, also this week, we're going to talk about managing against your retirement death line. Ooh, that sounds scary. The death line. Well, we believe that there's a certain number of dollars that if you get below it, then you can't support the lifestyle that you want anymore. So we call that the death line. And when you're managing your investments, when you're looking at your retirement planning, you need to be aware, you need to be cognizant of what is the death line. If you know what that is, then you can manage against it and hopefully never get under it, because that's not good. And you know what, Jack? Most shows would stop right there. Most shows would say, you know what? If we did just that, we have done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show.
Somebody stop me.
Oh, but on this show, do we stop right there? Do we only go where people expect us to? Of course we don't. We boldly go where no financial show has gone before. And therefore, at about 10 till, we will talk about how much can you gift tax-free. Tax-free gifts. That's what you want to give to those greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs of yours. And so we'll talk about those limits with you at about 10 till. So we have an absolutely fantastic show lined up for you. And I'm sure you'll stay tuned for the entire program, because you guys do that. You listen to the whole thing, which I really love and I thank you for. Okay, so let's talk about the 300-foot walk and why it is so important for you. So I'm going to take a plank of wood, 300 feet long and 3 feet wide. And I'm going to put that plank of wood out in the parking lot in front of the building. And I'm going to get a $100 bill. And I'm going to put that $100 bill in the middle of that plank of wood. And then I'm going to ask you, dear listener, to get on one end of the plank of wood, walk to the middle, pick up the $100 bill, walk to the other end, and if you can do that without stepping on either side of the, if you stay on the plank the whole time, you get to keep the $100. So, question is, how many of you would take that deal? Well, when I've asked that question, I found that just about 100% would take it, although there are some that kind of furrow their brow and they're going, okay, well, what's the catch? There's no catch. You just got to walk 300 feet on a plank of wood, pick up $100, don't step off the side, you keep the $100. So how many would take that deal? Just about everybody. All right, so now let's change the scenario. So now what we're going to do, I need you to put your imagination hat on, and I want you to picture yourself now on that same plank of wood, except this time what I've done is I put that plank of wood between the Petronas Towers in Kuala Lumpur. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Petronas Towers are two towers that sit, they're 88 stories high in Kuala Lumpur, tallest building in the world, and they are 300 feet apart. I guess they make them that far apart because they sway in the wind or something. They don't want them to hit each other. Anyway, so they're up there. I put the plank of wood between those twin towers up in Kuala Lumpur, 88 stories off the ground. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that same $100 bill, and I'm going to put it right in the middle of that plank of wood. But this time, I'm going to put a rock on it to keep the wind from blowing it off. And now I'm going to ask you, dear listener, to walk across, pick up the $100 bill, and walk to the other end. And if you accomplish that, then you get to keep the $100. How many of you would take that deal? Well, when I ask that question, there's always one smart aleck in the room who says, I would. Okay, but I think even that person is kidding. Most of you, I think, if not all of you, would say no. Now, sometimes I get somebody who says, can I wear a parachute? And the answer is no, you cannot wear a parachute. Okay, you got to walk across, shimmy across, crawl across, whatever it is you want to do, unaided, no net underneath you. How many of you would do that 88 stories off the ground? The answer is, I think, none of you. Now, what's the difference? The difference is 88 stories of risk. So in one scenario, it was basically risk-free. So the $100 was a risk-free return. Now, think about what you're doing. The investment is the same. It's a 300-foot walk. The return on investment is the same. It's $100. But yet one you would do and one you wouldn't. And the difference is that one has 88 stories of risk underneath you and the other one doesn't. That's the difference. And when you look at your investing, you need to ask yourself, not what is the rate of return, but how much risk am I taking to get that rate of return? Okay? Because I would argue that a 5% risk-free rate of return is far better than a 5% super high risk where you could lose everything return. Okay? Now, let's go back to the plank of wood, 88 stories off the ground. $100 is not enough to get you to do it. What if I increase that to $1,000? Would you do it now? Answer is no, right? How about if I increased it to $10,000? What's the answer now? Probably still no. What if I increased it to $1 million? Now, I might get a taker or two, but I would say the vast majority of you would say there ain't no way I'm doing that, even for $1 million. So the rate of return is not important or not as important as the amount of risk you take to get to that $100 or that return. So when you're looking at your investments, that's what you need to do. And the important thing, and, you know, as I said, we specialize in, we work with people who are primarily retired or retiring soon. So for us, it's all about how much risk do you take. In fact, we have a core value that says take only as much risk as is necessary to accomplish your financial goals. So, you know, sometimes you have somebody that says, well, I want to make 8% or I want to make this or that. And we ask them, do you want to take the risk associated with having to do that? And sometimes, you know, the market, the stock market is a very dangerous place. And even though it's doing well, even though it might pay you $10,000 to walk across that 300-foot plank, it's still not worth doing. And sometimes the market is like that. And our philosophy is that you buy, you hold, but you also sell. And sometimes being out of the market, even though it's rising at the time, is still a good idea because that return represents too much risk for you, in our opinion. Okay, so that's our philosophy, and we're sticking to it. We just don't like falling 88 stories to the ground for $100. We don't want to do that. Now, if you are retired or retiring soon, if you are over 50, yes, and I know there's a lot of you out there. If that is you, then I would like you to go to our website. It is rpoa.com, okay? rpoa.com stands for Retirement Planners of America. And while you're there, we have videos, we have articles, we have podcasts that you can watch, you can listen to, and we have lots of information on there regarding retirement planning. and we hope you'll benefit from that. And while you're there, if you'd like, you can also you can sign up to visit with one of our retirement planners, and we would love to sit down with you and review your entire financial plan. Make sure you're not 88 stories off the ground. Make sure that you're down on the parking lot if that's possible. We also want to look at your 401k, your retirement plans at work. We want to look at when should you take Social Security. We want to help answer that question for you. And also, we want to talk about the fact that the IRS. Yikes. Yeah, those guys. They want to tax 85% of your Social Security benefits, folks. And we want to show you how to avoid that if it's at all possible. So all of that is available to you at rpoa.com. And also, you know, we have seminars that you can attend. And if you want to go to those, we'll have our now world famous oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies waiting for you. And the oatmeal raisin, we make them with those plump, juicy yellow raisins. We put cinnamon in the batter. These cookies are 1 inch thick. They're 6 inches in diameter. They're a meal in and of themselves. Folks, bring an appetite. You can't eat a whole one. And you'll also learn about your finances while you're there. So all of that, rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the 9 things to look for in a long-term care policy. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. All of the ideas we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And in 2015, Forbes named our financial advisory firm, Money Matters, one of the top 100 wealth managers.
Wow!
Wow is right, and we are very proud of that. But, you know, without our clients, we would be nowhere. So I actually want to give that one to all of our beloved clients. And we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. So we work primarily with people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. So if that's you, then I'm talking to you. Okay. So I'm glad you're with us. I hope you're having an absolutely fantastic weekend. I hope everything is coming up roses for you. And I'm going to talk now with you about a question that comes up relatively frequently with clients. And that is, you know, what should I think about before buying a long-term care policy? Do I even need one? Should I, you know, can I afford it? And then when can I self-insure? You know, can I use my own money to pay for it? Well, one of the important things to remember is that the statistics are very compelling as to the percentage of people. If you take a married couple over 60 that are 65, the chances of one of them becoming disabled, incapacitated, and needing long-term care is greater than the possibility of death by a large margin. And the percentages are very high. And so, therefore, you need to really think about this. Because if you are a 65-year-old couple, the chances one of you is going to require long-term care is relatively high. And if you don't plan for that, what could happen is you could have large expenses. And, you know, those expenses could put a big dent in your ability, in your investments, in your financial security. So, and according to an article, I wish I could reference it, but it says about 13% of Americans have actually bought long-term care insurance who are in that age group. And that's a very low percentage relative to the number that need it, in my opinion. So, the very rich people probably don't need it. So, where is the threshold? In my opinion, and we've modeled this and we've looked at it, if you have more than $2 million of investments, then you probably could self-insure the risk of long-term care insurance. And when I say $2 million, I mean liquid, accessible. Okay, I'm not talking about it's all in your real estate or something. I'm talking about liquid, accessible money. You may be able to self-insure, meaning you could pay for it out of your own money. The thing is, do you want to? You know, that's like if you have $2 million, you probably can pay to cash to replace your home. But does that mean you don't want to have fire insurance? Okay. So you may still want to buy the insurance, even though perhaps you could afford to fund it yourself. So according to Genworth, which is a large insurance company that is in the long-term care business, the annual cost of a semi-private room in a nursing home is more than $88,000 a year, and that in some areas. A private nursing home room is almost $95,000 a year, and 44 hours a week of home health care service could run about $42,000 per year. And Medicare doesn't cover these costs. That's why the need for the insurance. So, what are the things you should look for? Well, number one is make sure that you look at all the different options. There are tons of policies with lots of different options. And so compare policies and read the fine print. So what you want to do is you want to know is how long is the exclusion period before the policy begins paying benefits? What capacities do you have to lose? Okay, so there are different policies will pay for different capacity. A capacity is your ability to, to feed yourself, your ability to, those kind of things. So yeah, what capacities do you have to, how many years of care are covered? So you should investigate these policies yourself, obviously, but it's very complex. And I would recommend that you talk with someone who understands these things, an expert who can help you with that. Okay, now also, investigate the companies. One of the things is, we say is you don't want the company to die before you do. Because if the company goes under, they may have the most competitive policy with the best pricing, the best everything, but they're out of business in 2 years and you got nothing. So make sure that. The other thing is you don't necessarily need to buy a Cadillac plan. Okay, if you can't afford one. Okay, so look at eliminating the inflation rider potentially. There are ways that you can bring the price down of your premiums. The one most important thing is don't stop paying premiums on the policy you have currently if you're looking to replace it. Okay, until you have the new one in place, keep paying premiums on the old one. Don't have a gap there because you can find out the hard way that somebody that you think can get coverage all of a sudden doesn't, and you don't have insurance. Also, don't keep your long-term care plans a secret. Okay, make photocopies of the first pages of your policies. Give them to someone who's going to be responsible. Because if nobody knows you have the policy and you become incapacitated, guess what? Nobody's going to know to file a claim for you. So you need to let people know what's going on. Also, apply earlier rather than later. Okay, so if you're not healthy, you can't buy a policy anyway. So the best time to apply is before you develop any health problems. And the younger you are, the lower the premiums are. Okay, so the longer you wait, it's going to cost you more. And then also one final thing just to think about is that there are discounts if you buy it as a couple. Okay, so if you're a married couple, you can buy it on both of you, and you can get policies that have shared benefits and those kind of things. And think about it from the insurance company standpoint. It is less risk to them to cover two people on one policy than it is to cover one person individually. So you can get a discount on the cost. Okay, so some tips for you. And again,
I'm glad we had this talk.
I am too, Tom. It is very complex, okay? And these policies have a lot of fine print and there's a lot of stuff. And, I would recommend that you have help in examining a policy before you buy one. And so I'd encourage you to go to our website. It's moneymatters.net, moneymatters.net. And if you click on Meet with an Advisor, we will schedule a time to visit. And yes, we want to talk about long-term care with you for sure. And we also want to talk about your 401k, your Social Security planning. We want to talk about whether you can retire or not, where to get your income from. We want to talk about your diversification, all those kind of things. We want to help you to build your entire investment retirement plan. Okay, and long-term care is an important component of that, and we want to help you with that as part of it. So if you go to moneymatters.net, you can click on Meet with an Advisor, and if we can help you, that is just fantastic. We're so happy. And if we can't, we're going to tell you that too. Okay, so either way, no charge, no obligation, and we will part friends.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
And Bogey is right. It is absolutely the beginning of a beautiful friendship. And if you would like to go to one of our seminars, we have seminars designed for those of you who are over 50, retired, or retiring soon. And we can find a seminar that is near you very easily on our website, moneymatters.net. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have Social Security for Married Couples questions and answers. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. And Financial Times named our financial advisory firm one of the top 300 registered investment advisors, actually the second time they've done that. And we're proud of that, obviously, but without our clients, we'd be nowhere at all. So that thank you goes to our clients. So thank you, thank you, thank you. This is the part of the show where we talk about Social Security. And it is a topic that comes up almost in every client meeting, I have to say. And so what I'm doing is if you guys would help me out with this segment of the show, all you have to do is send me your questions to Ken at moneymatters.net. and Social Security questions, and I'll endeavor to answer your questions, and you give me content, so you make my life easier. Thank you. So let me start off with the first question here. This one is Dan. So Dan is retiring at 62 and has collected his benefits. Carol is going to continue to work. When they're both 66, they want to apply for spousal benefits, okay? And she's actually not going to apply for hers until she's 70. So the question they have is, will the spousal benefit she received be based on his benefit at 66 or his benefit at 62? That's a very good question. So let me explain what the question means, okay? So Dan's going to start taking his Social Security benefit at 62. Carol's going to wait. She's going to keep working. And she may wait till she's 70 to start collecting hers. Now, she wants to know if she can collect half of his. The answer is yes. Secondly, the half of his, is it based on when he's 62? Or is it based on his full retirement benefit, which would be what he'd get when he was 66? And the answer is it's based on the full retirement benefit he'd get at 66, regardless of the fact that he took it at 62.
Cool.
Okay? Now, she can only do this if she turns 62 before the end of 2015. Okay? So that strategy is only available to those of you who turn 62 before the end of 2015. So if that's you, then that strategy is available. All right. So that's a really cool thing. And you know what? It's one of those things that you got to take advantage of because they're going to change that sucker. whenever I see things like that, I think, you know what? They're going to change that. All right. Question number two. Do I have enough time? Yeah, barely. Okay. So this one says, I am 63 and I am receiving $800 a month in Social Security disability. My husband is 53 and is expected at full retirement age to receive a benefit of $2,100 a month. So what they're asking is, what's the best way to file? So, and are there any options for them to consider due to her Social Security disability? Okay, so let me answer that. So when you, the disabled spouse, turn 66, your disability benefit will convert to a retirement benefit, and the amount will remain the same. So you'll still be getting that $800 a month. Now, when your husband files for his benefit, at his age 66 or 70, you can go back and ask for a spousal benefit or half of his. Okay, so now keep in mind that he has to start collecting before you can do that. All right, so once he started collecting, then what they do is they add one half of his benefit, and so you'll get an extra $250 a month.
How very interesting.
Okay, so that's kind of cool. Anyway. Social Security is extremely complicated. Let me just tell you. According to the Social Security website, there are 9,100 ways to file for Social Security. And I bet probably, you know, one of them is the right one for you. So how do you know which one to do? There's so many different variations and strategies and different, depending on your age, your incomes, you know, all those kind of things. What I would recommend to you is don't do that by yourself. Talk to a professional about it. And what I would encourage you to do is to go to our website. It's moneymatters.net. And on the website, we have information regarding Social Security. We have videos, podcasts, articles where you can go and educate yourself and, knowledge is power. The more you know, the better informed you are, the better of a decision you can make. But more importantly, while you're there, you can choose to meet with one of our advisors. And what we would do, we'd love to do, is to sit down with you and explore your options and look at how you should go about doing that. And we want to do that in the context of your entire financial plan. So we're going to also want to take into account what your income is, your expenses are, you know, your cost of living is, all those kind of things. How much money you have in terms of your investments, because that could impact the taxation of your Social Security benefits. So we have all kinds of information that we need to gather from you so as to be able to put together a game plan, okay? And if you'd like to take advantage of that opportunity, our website is moneymatters.net, and click on Meet with an Advisor, and we'd love to help you. Now, if we can, that's fantastic, and if not, we're going to tell you that too. So either way, no charge, no obligation, and we will part friends.
I don't know how to say I thank you, except I thank you.
And Frankie, you are absolutely welcome. So moneymatters.net is our website, and we look forward to meeting you if we can. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about managing against the death line when it comes to your investments. Ooh, that sounds scary. Stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. And we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. And so our clients are primarily people who are within 5 years of retirement or 5 years into retirement, that 10-year period. That's where we focus all of our attention on. And also clients who are older. Don't misunderstand, but the primary focus is on those 10 years because we believe that is the most important 10 years of your entire financial life. And Financial Times named our financial advisory firm one of the top 300 registered investment advisors actually for the second time. Yes, yes, and we're very proud of that. Financial Times is a publication I've actually been reading since I was 12. Yes, since I was 12. My mother used to make me read it. But anyway, without our clients, we would be absolutely zero. So we understand that, and we thank you, all the clients listening, and even those that are not. So one of the things that is foundational to our investment philosophy when we manage money for our clients is the notion of protecting your money from losses, okay? And we talk about that a lot because we believe that during that 10-year period I talked about, the 5 years before you retire, the 5 years after, that is the single most important period of your entire financial life, in our opinion. And the reason why we say that is because let's say that you are the world's greatest investor, okay? You made 10% a year every year for the last 30 years in a row. I mean, you are such a fantastic investor that there are bronze statues on Wall Street of you. Right. And investors walk by and they rub your foot for good luck on the way into, their job on Wall Street. You're a legend in your own lifetime. People come to you from all over the world for advice. And you're about to retire and you've got, I don't know how many millions of dollars, and you've got this lifestyle that you're all jazzed up about and you're going to retire and enjoy. And then 2008 comes along and you lose half your money. Or 57%. The S&P went down 57% during the bear market of 2008. And you lose 57% of your money. I don't care how many millions of dollars you got. That's going to change your life. And all the things you thought you were going to do, I think, are going to be minimized. They're going to be at risk of being able to do. You may not even be able to retire at this point. So what you did in the past is fantastic and great. But, you know, the old expression, it doesn't matter how much you make. It's how much you keep that counts.
You're a persistent cuss, Pilgrim.
Well, Duke, I am very much so. And so for our clients, we believe that preservation of principal, keeping what you've spent your lifetime, what you've built during your entire working life, making sure to the degree that we can that we protect that from harm is extremely important. Now, I've been reading a book called Great by Choice by Jim Collins. And in this book, what he does is he looks at companies that succeeded during very adverse times. And what he found, and their methodology is they'll take two companies that were in the same industry, direct competitors at the same time, one failed, one succeeded, what's the difference? And so he looked at, and believe it or not, they found, I think he said in his book, 5,000 examples of that, and they narrowed it down to 11. And these 11 companies they looked at, and they said, why did one company fail and one succeed during adverse times? And the reason was, and he came up with a variety of them, and two of them that I'll talk about because they're relevant to this conversation. The first one was the companies that survived the very adverse times, they all had a lot of cash on hand. They were super conservative in terms of how much, as Jim Collins calls it, oxygen tanks they had, right? They don't want to run out of oxygen when they're under the water or at the top of the world. So the amount of cash, and we've talked in the past about the importance of having an emergency fund and having cash on hand. So I'm not going to talk about that now. But a second thing he talked about is managing against what he calls the death line. And what he means by that is that the CEOs that were able to navigate their companies through very adverse times, you know, like the airline industry during the oil shock and regulation and all the airlines that were going bankrupt and all that, Southwest Airlines persevered and made a profit through the whole thing. How did they do that? They had lots of cash on hand. But the other thing he talked about was that the CEOs of all these companies, they all managed. They didn't think of it that way, but they all had the philosophy of managing against what Jim Collins calls the death line, which means they had a place that they said, I am not going to get there. And with the value, the money we have for this company, there's a number there. We are going to manage against that and never allow ourselves to get below that. He calls it the death line, because if you get below that, those companies, they all failed and died. So how does that apply to us in our world? Well, we that number, the death line number, if you will, we call it your magic number. Okay, so the magic number is the number that we believe is how much you need to have to support the lifestyle that you want to have during your retirement. So when your investments, what we look at is we want to manage against that number. We don't want you to get below that number to any great degree, because then it's going to impact your ability to support the lifestyle you want. Okay, so it's the same sort of philosophy of surviving adversity. And our strategy of buy, hold, and sell basically says that we want to sell and protect that magic number. You know, and these CEOs, they were willing to give up growth in exchange for not getting below that death line. Companies, for example, there was a pharmaceutical company, they bet big, they invested in this big product and all that stuff, and they went below their death line. And when that product didn't come through, their revenue wasn't there, and they went out of business. The other company said, you know what, I'm willing to give up exciting, fantastic growth. I'm not going to gamble like that. I'm going to be conservative, and they survived. And that's the way we believe the philosophy of managing our clients' money is. We want to grow, don't get me wrong, but that's not the primary objective. The primary objective is don't get below that death line. We want our clients' money to last as long as they do. That's our goal.
To hear you say that makes me love you, baby.
Well, you know what? I love you back. So if you believe that philosophy makes sense, if you are within 5 years of retirement or you're within that 10-year period, then I encourage you to go to our website. It's moneymatters.net. We have many resources there that I think will benefit you. We have videos. We have podcasts. We have articles. You know, you have the ability to go to one of our seminars. You have the ability to talk to our advisors, and we'll have a free consultation to go over your retirement plan. We have a lot of resources available to you. We want to help you if we can. So go to our website. It's moneymatters.net. All right, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labors. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. Now, this week, we're going to talk about how much can you gift tax-free, and what are some of the things that are really exciting. So in 2017, the tax reform legislation essentially doubled the amount that you can pass on to your aforementioned greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs, the amount you can transfer tax-free. And the exemption is now $11,400,000 per person, or $22.8 million per married couple.
That ought to keep the little squirts happy.
Boy, if they inherited $22 million tax-free, I think they'd be pretty happy, yes. Now, therefore, the estate tax has been taken away for just about everybody in this country. I mean, there's probably, you know, the one percenters still, but $22 million, I think, pretty much covers everybody. And so, and also what's cool is that the IRS, yeah, those guys, said that there's going to be no clawback post-reform to that exemption. Because one of the big fears is that, you know, they say that it's 11.4 million, but then later they go back and change it. And if they do that, then how can we plan now for something and then later they change it? And so they said they're not going to do that. They're not going to claw back. Now, you may wonder, why would people be worried about that? Well, for those of you who've been around long enough, you may remember that Bill Clinton changed the estate tax laws and made it retroactive to the beginning of the year. So people who had already died, their families had to file a brand new estate tax return to compensate for the new tax laws, and he went back and essentially collected taxes from dead people. Anyway, so where are we with that? So the exemption is that. Also, now, so what does this mean? What is the exemption? What it means is that when you're making gifts, there are two parts to the gift, the ability to make gifts. One is all of us have the ability to give $15,000 to as many people as we wish, $15,000 per person, without us having to pay the tax. Remember, the gift tax and the estate tax is paid by the person making the gift or the person that died. It's not paid by the people receiving it. So when you make a gift to somebody, you're the one that owes the gift tax, okay? They don't. They get it tax-free. So the first thing to remember is that it's $15,000 per person. So if you have two kids, you can give them $30,000. combined, right? And then if you're married, you can give another $30,000 because you can double up with your spouse. So you can give them $60,000 a year. So it's a lot. Now, if you exceed that $15,000, so in other words, let's say in 1 year you give them a car, right? And it's $20,000 or it's $30,000. So you've given them an extra $15,000 over the limit. That $15,000 applies to the exemption. The exemption is like your gifting bank account, that $11 million. So every time you exceed your $15,000, you take some from that $11 million. And until you've used up the $11 million, your gifts are not taxable. Okay? So basically, it means that you can give away or die with $11 million or $22 million as a married couple, and there are no estate taxes and there's no gift tax. So it's a pretty good deal. And that's the 2017 tax legislation. So there you go. Now, estate planning is also making sure that your affairs are in order, making sure that you don't get stuck into probate, making sure that you give money to your greedy unwashed in ways that are appropriate for them and all those kind of things. And so it is something that you should put some thought into. And so if you'd like to learn more, you can go to our website. It's moneymatters.net, moneymatters.net. And we have articles, videos, podcasts on this topic, which I think will help you. And in addition, while you're there, you can sign up for one of our seminars on retirement planning. And at the seminars, we talk about three of the worst enemies you have to your financial well-being. We'll talk about inflation, and we'll give you strategies on how we think you can beat that. We'll talk about income taxes, five strategies to reduce your income taxes. We'll talk about how to help avoid great losses in bear markets, our buy, hold, and sell strategy, which helps.
Oh, dear. That's too wonderful to be true.
I know. It sounds like it, but it isn't, Dorothy, because we actually helped our clients to not lose money in 2008 in equities because we counseled them to be out of all equities during that year. So it's all available to you at moneymatters.net. If we can help you, we would love to be able to do that. So moneymatters.net. Well, you know what? I cannot believe how fast this show has gone. Oh my gosh. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed doing it for you. We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
Is this the end?
Of course not. It's only the beginning.
Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned. None of this show's content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Sound effects or anecdotes should not be construed as an endorsement of Ken Morafe or MMWKM Advisors LLC. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.